And welcome to In-Game Chat for January 28th, 2009. We're your official podcast, colonyofgamers.com. And also, you can check us out there at the forums, which a lot of you have done. We thank you for that and try to reply as much as we can. Or you can check us out at ingamechat.net as well. So, welcome to the show. Jeremy is here with us. We've also got James and myself here tonight. It's been a busy weekend for us. Full of demos. We've had the Fear 2 demo released. We've had the Resident Evil 5 demo released. We did a lot of gaming. We actually got together. We did, for once, we did what we said we were going to do at the end of the show.
I always do what I say I'm going to do. I don't know about you guys.
We're like, yeah, I'm going to play this and this. We should get to... Well, me and James have been saying for the past couple of shows, hey, we should finish Gears.
We should finish Gears. Now, let's be clear. We didn't finish Gears.
We didn't, but at least we fucking started.
Scott underestimated how much Gears we had left. I was like, I'm in the fish. He's like, ah, I'll knock it out in a couple hours. So when we finally got down to it, it was a little more than that, which good. It was a little more than I expected it to be. And I had a lot of fun with it once I... See, that was a bad day, though. That was a really bad day. Because I started off that whole day playing Battlefield.
Yeah, that was... Right.
I want to reach back to something that we talked about a very long time ago.
Which
we solicited feedback on. And which, actually, I don't know if you've read your most recent Game Informer.
I got to renew that.
Appears as an editorial.
Great.
In the Game Informer, like...
Somebody pointed this out in our threads that apparently we made a comment in our last episode or the episode before saying that, you know what? You know who's going to benefit from this? The rental companies. Gamefly, Netflix, that sort of thing. And then the news...
Economic downturn.
Yeah. And then the news comes out today that Netflix sees a major growth in October and November in subscribers. And somebody pointed it out in our thread saying, wow, you guys predicted this.
It actually...
You don't know how often that actually happens.
It happens a lot, but it doesn't happen by, like... weeks.
No, it's just days.
Days is a lot. Yeah. A lot of times it happens by hours, which sometimes doesn't even look right because, like, between the time we record the show and the time we post
it. And the time people listen to it, exactly. Yeah.
It's very strange, but, like, we're pretty timely. We don't know it.
No, we don't.
No idea.
What was it?
I'm just making guesses.
The whole Diablo unicorns and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, we were making fun of that. Somebody should make a t-shirt with Diablo and unicorns.
By the time we do our next episode, what has happened?
Yeah, they go to, like, it was the, whatever it was, BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And, like, the devs were wearing, you know, unicorn and rainbow t-shirts. I was like, God, you fuckers. Send me one.
Yeah. So we do this more often than...
It happens a lot, but this is a discussion we were having a long time ago, and I know a lot of people have thought about it, but it was involving...
What were you playing?
It's absurd that you cannot remap your controls. Mm-hmm. I understand in certain instances the analog sticks need to be what they are, or some buttons absolutely have to be what they are. Mirror's Edge, I don't think, would necessarily work quite as well if you could remap however you wanted, although, you know... Still somewhat.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem in it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that there's any sort of, I know for a fact there's no sort of prohibition at the level of the API, mm-hmm. because there are games that actually do it, that let you remap your shit. Like, I know Resistance lets you do that. Just, like, remap all your garbage. So, that needs to be common. It absolutely needs to be common across all games, or as many games as possible. Because in one day, I was playing...
No more than... Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was like in like a six-hour period, I was playing Battlefield Bad Company, which has, for a game of that type, has controls as different as they possibly could be from Call of Duty, even though that really isn't necessary at all. In ways that are much worse. So, from Bad Company to Gears to World at War. And it was like really... And each one was a very intense play session. And each time I would move from one to the next, it was really uncomfortable. And really, like, problematic for me. And it isn't... Despite some conversations that people have had about the controller itself being... some kind of impediment, you know?
Right.
Like some sort of ergonomic problem to be overcome. I think a little bit of standardization would be nice. Because when someone who's really accustomed to playing all this stuff can simply be put off by the differences in control.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you remember, because we were co-oping, like, World at War. And right. for, like, that whole first segment, I just kept saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then he'd be like, what? And I'm like, I just threw a grenade.
Yeah, that's right. He killed you. I tried to reload. Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I'm tapping my right button because I just gotten done with Gears. I was like, I'm sorry. I just tried to reload. I threw a grenade. I'm sorry. And you're like, what? Boom. Everybody's dead. Like, come on. Seriously? I like active reload. I think that's great. You know, I think that's really cool, and I can get down with that. And I might not necessarily want to change everything all the time. But I damn sure do it on my PC. Mm-hmm. Always. To the point where most developers for PC first-person shooters fucking know where shit should go. What do you hit to reload? R.
Yep.
You know? Like, that's how it's done. I always remap, like, crouch to shift, mm-hmm. use to F. This is how I do it, but that's okay. I can do that. They long ago realized that that's how it should work, and I just don't see any reason why the consoles can't do the same thing. It's very problematic, and I would have a much easier time.
It was very interesting how this weekend played out for us. Because Friday night we get into a party, and this was very old school for us. We hadn't played as the four, you know, Kevin... Me, you know, Kevin, me, and Jeremy and James, we hadn't played as a group since, oh, God, how long has it been? Did we ever do any Ghost Recon together?
No.
We did some Rainbow Six together, didn't we?
Yeah. We did some Rainbow Six Vegas.
The very first one, yes.
I think it's been since, for the four of us, I think it's been since Grand Theft Auto.
That's true. But just the four of us.
Yeah.
Because we had a lot of other people in there with us when we were doing Grand Theft Auto.
Even then, the four of us don't get together that often. Surprisingly. Like, we don't always get into the same thing. We sort of break off into smaller groups. But
Jeremy had gotten his copy of COD World at War. And we're like, hey, that gives you four-player co-op. We should do that. And so at least we'll do it with three. Well, we get into a party Friday night, and Kevin's there playing Skate or doing whatever he was doing. It was like, dude. Go to the store and rent it right now.
Yeah.
They've got it. Go rent it right now and come back and we'll play some. He's like, no, we'll do that. So we played and he's still in the room. We're talking. I wonder what kind of conversation he was listening to when we're just like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. No, pick that up. Come get me. Scott, what are you doing? Stop it. And so he's listening to all this and we get done with the game and you're telling me to finish it.
Yeah. Well, because we didn't have access to the...
None of us had access to the Nazis.
To the Nazis.
We signed in thinking it was going to be there.
I thought that it was just there. Evidently, it was a part of the Double XP weekend.
Bastards.
Yeah. Which I still don't understand. It's a fundamentally co-op experience. Why the fuck are you putting it at the end of a single-player campaign?
Yeah.
As a reward. I don't entirely understand that, but whatever. So I decided that the best way to get access to it was to just... to have Scott beat the game.
Like, look, I got to work tomorrow, so you're going to beat the game tomorrow, and then we're going to play Nazi Zombies.
Yeah, just play it on easy, beat the game.
And I said, fine, if Kevin goes and gets the game, I'll do it. And I think we got a text message from him the next day.
Yeah, I tracked all my text messages throughout the day.
Yeah, the next text message from Kevin was, I got it, it's on tonight. And I was like, all right.
The next message from Scott was...
I'm on the last level.
I'm on the last level, fucker.
You ass. yeah, so I went through it on Saturday, which, by the way, if you just want to unlock Nazi Zombie mode, even if you don't, going through that game on easy is worth it. It's worth it for the presentation they give you. There's two extra levels to play that aren't in the co-op scenario. But it's really worth it, and it's very easy. So, I mean, you can knock it out really quick when you go through there. And I did just that. We unlocked Nazi Zombie mode, and we had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. We got stuck, actually, in the campaign, which was really bad. We thought it would be a lot easier with multiple people. I think, in retrospect, it's actually much harder.
You had it on hardcore, though.
It wasn't even veteran, and I was like, well, we should be able to deal with this, but I'm sorry, dude. Call of Duty... they fucking cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game, like, horribly, horribly cheats. And with four people on that... No, we had...
We did end up bringing in a fourth.
Yeah, we did have four. I think that was that actually hurt us, because anytime one person would die.
Well, we tried to make it easier by using a death card that.
It wasn't Suicide King. It was whichever one allows you to shoot your.
To revive them, yeah.
To revive them. It just didn't help. There were too many opportunities for people to die, and it was happening too often.
Mm-hmm.
And enemies were literally doing an infinite spawn out of areas we had already cleared 10 feet away. Mm-hmm. It was just. We got stuck. We were pissed off about it. You know, we really just wanted to kill Nazi zombies anyway.
Yeah, and we got in there, and that was a lot of fun.
We weren't very good at it. It took us, like, 4 or 5 rounds to figure out a strategy.
Yeah.
That I think would have worked had we gone in a couple of more times and gotten us past, like, 16 rounds or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Is that what we made it to, 16?
Yeah, 15 or 16.
Yeah.
But, and really, that was just a failure of, like, once it gets to that level, if something falls apart, if any one thing falls apart, the whole thing is done.
Yeah, totally.
But that was a lot of fun. We, you know, we were seeing what some people were talking about as strategies on the internet, but we were trying to develop our own, and it didn't. We didn't work.
I'd rather the zombies not get harder to kill. I would just rather there be more of them.
Right.
If you can make them faster, and you can bring more of them, but don't make it. Whereas the previous level, my shotgun would take you out if you were, you know, pretty much right there, headshot, dead in my face, and boom, I shoot you.
Well, it makes the power-ups a lot more important.
It does make the power-ups a lot more important.
The instant kills and the nuke and all that other stuff become a lot more integral. You need to pay a lot more attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're only going to get the 30 seconds of instant kill between rounds. I think that's a rule for how that game...
Well, also, you're only going to get power-ups when they're inside...
Yeah.
You know, if you're shooting them through the barriers...
Yeah.
You're not going to get a power-up for that. So, you know, they have to be inside, and it's very risky to let them inside.
There comes a point where you don't have any choice, though. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for what we were doing, we decided to take that one room and say, okay, this is our room. We had already started in the main room you start in, so they were already getting in there. So they were already inside, and those that we were killing with the flamethrower were leaving power-ups, but... But yeah, there's a certain point there where it's like, oh shit, okay, we need to rethink our way of doing this.
But nonetheless, it was a lot of fun.
Oh god, it was great.
To anybody that hasn't,
I want to do it again. I know we didn't want to do it right after that because we're like, all right, 16. This is as high as we're going to get for tonight. Yeah, I'd like to try it again and do some. I'd like to try it again with the full group.
Yeah,
and see how that works.
With 5 people
with a 5th.
Yeah. I believe you can do 5. Yeah, you can do 5. Can. Yeah.
I would like to. I would like it if there was a different floor plan as well.
Yeah.
Available. Not that one's a problem, but
just for variety.
For variety, it would be nice, and it doesn't seem like it would be a terribly hard thing to do.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something we can expect. I don't know. Nonetheless, it's a mode I still haven't done. Had not until this weekend done yet. So. I was really happy that we got a chance to do that, so I knew what people were talking about.
Yeah, perfect, and it's great.
Yeah, perfect, I believe it was Jeremy's observation that it was a
Reese's moment.
Peanut butter chocolate combination.
Yeah.
With Nazis and zombies.
You got zombies in my Nazis. You got Nazis in my zombies.
What are
you
Nazis
got peanut butter in my
Wehrmachts.
And so, yeah, it worked out really well, and we really had a lot of fun with it, so that was great. I played some more Burnout Paradise. I played the Fear 2 demo. God, what else did I play?
Well, we got the patch coming for that. That we had not had coming the last time we talked.
Burnout?
Yeah.
Okay, there was like Fear. I played the Fear 2 demo.
The February 6th patch now.
Yeah, we do.
Not the bonus cars patch necessarily, but the...
No, you get the party pack comes out at the same time this patch gets released.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. Well, I wasn't aware that this patch was going to contain the sorts of things it was going to contain. Namely, race restarts.
Race restarts for a lot of people out there.
That's a big deal, and that's been a huge barrier for a lot of people. And it's something that will, particularly once you've started to whittle away at... the majority of the events, it's something that can really
that's a big deal
fun
that right? would be my only complaint about restarts. I mean, you've probably seen me in forums. I'm the Burnout Crusader, I guess. I don't know, but you know, I always defend Criterion for whatever they're doing, and when they didn't have lack of restart, a lot of people complained about that. I said, yeah, but it helps you learn the land. It helps you learn the layout. And, I mean, there's always an event somewhere you can do. That's not the case when you're really getting up there. you fail in a race and that's your only one left, or that's like two of maybe five events scattered all over the place, yeah, it's not as much fun. And they actually, they said that. They said, yeah, we realize that you get up there. And
particularly
so,
on the western part of the map.
Yeah, because it's...
where the races are a lot more sparse and the terrain is a lot more difficult to navigate. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of that race. So,
but there are other people who are really happy with restarts who are not even starting the game until they get that restart option.
Yes.
I don't think that's going to help you very much. Because you've still got to learn the land. There's still those...
I think it'll be a big help.
There's still no barriers, though.
I came late to the game, and I really was not happy about the lack of restarts. Mm. Because sometimes... the other problem is, though you're learning the map and learning the street grid and all of this other stuff... you know, you very specifically want to do this race. And a lot about how a race works is wanting to go back to that race. It's like, if there was a, you know, there are races of so many different varieties that to start a race of this type right here, fail it, but then find a race of a completely different type over here, that doesn't necessarily do me any good. If I'm having trouble with a particular barrier, I would like to say, okay, my mistakes are fresh in my mind. The ideas about how to overcome those problems are also fresh in my mind. I want to restart this and deal with this. And regardless, the free roaming in that game is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're trying to, you know, catch another ride. If you're trying to, like, take down...
Well, yeah, I mean, all I was doing this weekend was trying to find more smashes and billboards. I finally found all the jumps. Now I've got to find... I got one billboard left, and I've got four smashes left to do. To get not necessarily 100%, because there's still all the time records on each road, and the showtime records on each road, mm-hmm, that I need to complete against the default settings that are in there.
Right.
Not against all my online buddies, because that just ain't gonna happen. But against all the default stuff in there. And once you do that, you get like 101% of the game, and you get, you know, a car for it and all this other stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. But
well, your smashes and your gates and everything should be. They're going to glow. Or
right, that'll be the new thing. They're gonna pulsate. They're gonna be a little bit more
suggestively.
You're gonna be easier to spot. So I'm looking forward to that too. Restart option. Different handling on the cars, but on your earlier cars for people who are just getting into the game, they'll have some different handling on that. There's probably another one that I'm missing, not just the restart, but there's something else I think that I was missing. Well, the PC thing, it's coming to PC. It's going to have its own. The PS3 version and the PC version will have its own in-game browser that will connect to their store, so that you can, without leaving the game, download new packs and different things like that. Will not be available for the 360 version like that, but I've got both, and I'll enjoy both as well. And it's only $20. So, you know, pick it up. These guys are supporting it. Besides, they're giving you a fucking flying DeLorean. So, yeah, take it.
Enjoy. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Well worth the money.
It's going to be a ton of fun.
Possibly more worth the money now because of that patch.
Do some online stuff, too. They've added some online stuff since the release of the original. They put in some better stuff for that as well. But I played Burnout Paradise. I played the two Wii games that I rented. Boom Blocks and Da Blob. Boom Blocks is a lot of fun. I had fun with a Wii game by myself. Boom Blocks was one of those. I didn't like the fact that my arm got tired from throwing the ball. But that's just lazy in me saying that. But yeah, it's still a little sore from throwing the ball in Boom Blocks. Da Blob was a lot. Have you played that, Jeremy?
I haven't played either one of those.
Da Blob, I like.
Really meaning to play Boom Blocks.
Boom Blocks is nothing. Boom Blocks is nothing but the carnival game that you went to play, where you had to knock the three bottles off the thing. That's all it is. They have to whatever they put on the pedestal has to be knocked off completely.
Okay,
that's it. That's all that game is. But there's different, obviously, there's like some power-ups and things like that. There's different special kinds of blocks within a stack of other blocks and that sort of thing. And it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
And Da Blob, I had more fun. I've actually sent Boom Blocks back to Gamefly, but I kept Da Blob because I want to play some more of it.
Cool.
I actually had a lot more fun with it, I think, because I wasn't wailing my arms around and throwing things and whatever when I was playing it. So, but it was a lot of fun doing that.
What was that like?
Huh?
What's the blob like?
The blob, basically, it's a black and white world, and you're this blob who can pick up color from other places.
Okay.
And then you get to go and paint the town. and restore color to whatever this world is. But the music's dynamic, so when you're painting, it changes and adds, kind of like Maw did when you were playing that. Adds that in there as well, and yeah, it's a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun. Pick it up. It'll be fun to play. Especially have a free paint section where you can just kind of go through. And I know, you know, Megan would love to do that. So, what else did I play? I played a lot. Paradise. I played Gears of War 2 with you. Played COD World at War. I played some more Gears last night. I was going to get into Resident Evil 5 demo with you, but you didn't come back on. I didn't want to play that thing other than co-op.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm not even a little bit kidding. I'm not even trying to be funny.
Let's refresh everyone's memory from last week's episode.
That demo was a piece of shit.
There was a particular statement you made. I can't even... I think what you said, and we may have to go and put this back in. I can't see myself not buying that game.
Yeah, can now. They got fucking demos.
Yeah?
All right. In fairness, like, two caveats. One, this is obviously the exact same shit they were playing at E3. It's very clearly the same scenario.
Is it? Okay.
And the way everything is written and presented on the splash screens is very clearly, like, this is old code. This is whatever they put together for those chaps to play in front of the audience back at E3.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when they played it, they were playing co-op,
yeah,
from what I understand. I don't know if this is going to be any good co-op or not. So I'm going to kind of put that off to the side and hope it will.
Because you didn't play co-op either. You played it single.
I played it by myself. And
which you have played Resident Evil games in the past by yourself.
Well, that's how you fucking play Resident Evil games, man. It's by your fucking self.
But not this one.
If you play them with other people, they're people who are sitting on the couch
with
chips and beer, and everybody's working to figure out which key to put in the blue door. You know? And, like, we're the, you know, third fragment of the you know, plaster thing is, like, you know, whatever. Like, that's how you play Resident Evil games multiplayer. And that's fine. And I'm willing to give it a shot co-op. I'm actually still excited about it co-op. But that bitch was so fucking useless in that demo. She would not get out. She will not get out of your fucking way. So she is either underfoot, getting her fucking face chewed off somewhere, screaming for goddamn help, giving you herbs that you didn't necessarily want. Like, bitch, I played, like, fucking, like, 6 Resident Evil games. It's your first fucking Resident Evil game. I don't want to take a green herb. Like, don't walk up to me and give me a fucking... I know what I'm doing. Fuck you. And, like... Bitch will run around and pick up ammo and be like, I'll take this. Man! What the fuck? So you have to, like, be like, come here. Give me all your shit. Oh, no, I'm getting shot again. Or, I mean, you know, poked in the face with a thing or a shovel or whatever. And, like, I'm getting my face eaten off. And, like, you're not... Like, one time she helped me, but basically...
She's an AI griefer.
Yeah. Bitch took all my ammo. She, like, fucking wasted herbs because she don't know what the hell's going on. And, like, it was just generally, like, would fucking get in my way. And it's, like, all these narrow little alleys, and she doesn't know what the hell she's doing because she's stupid. And she just gets in your way and generally fucks everything up. And this is on top of the fact that their control scheme just isn't very... It's just not... It's not all that great. In trying to supplement the character's moves with, like, strafe and stuff, they should have just stuck so very literally to the Resident Evil 4 control scheme. I know that the departure wasn't something a lot of people were excited about, but it really did work. And trying to sort of tart it up a little bit with, like, some fancy moves that other things have been doing for years, like... I just didn't like it. It was very uncomfortable for me. And I know that the whole thing is sort of getting whiskers on it, you know, like it's an old concept in general, and that's okay. And that might have been part of my problem, but I didn't particularly like the control scheme. The setting was almost entirely devoid of creep. Like, this was another problem, is that every other... And again, I'm speaking of major entries in the franchise, you know. Anything that's essentially named or is Code Veronica. You know, like,
yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4 in Code Veronica.
Yeah, right.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4 and Nemesis. But whatever. That's an old argument as well. I'm just saying, it lacked it. Like, I didn't understand what the problem with these guys was. Obviously, you know, like, whatever particular sort of cooties, like, these guys have is, like the Las Plagas cooties, or more like it than, like, the T-Virus cooties. And at first, I just thought, like, I don't know, there's a bunch of sweaty guys and, like, I mean, not that that's anything to get excited about, but I was like, well, what's the problem here? Like, I didn't really understand, like, there's an infection or something going wrong, so it wasn't scary or creepy or it was no Doom, and the environment itself just wasn't, I don't know, there was no unease. I was never ill at ease except for this dumb bitch in my way. But, like, even in 4, which went very much in the same direction, you know, in terms of a less, at least to begin with, a less fantastical setting or a less overtly ravaged, you know,
was the first
zombie-ridden.
I remember when we put that in the GameCube there, and I was looking at it, I was like, I'm in some weird... field, you know,
field.
Yeah,
but
these guys aren't zombies. They're just like really pissed off citizens. Is all they look like.
But it evolved really well.
Yeah,
it was a sense of like this is. I know I'm in like I don't know where it was, like Spain, Portugal, some like
yeah,
where the hell I was, but it was like this is there's a really.
Prague, I think. I don't know. But
yeah, it was somewhere over there. I don't know. Creepy Forest. I think it was. I mean, it was obviously in like Spain or Portugal. I can't remember which one. But it was uncomfortable. There was a sense of decay to the whole environment, mm-hmm. and it was very strange. And there was, I mean, this was just not a good place. It was like very Far Cry 2, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, eh. So that's not creepy. It's just like there's a lot of guys who are vaguely zombie-like, and every, like, 10th guy's, like, face will open up, and there's, like, an extra face inside of his face or something. And he tries to eat me with it. I'm like, well, that's obviously not very good, but did you see what happened to those guys in the last game? Like, and fucking octopuses grow out of their head when you blew their head off. That was creepy. This shit you're doing right here isn't anything.
I think what it is this is the first one in a while you were looking forward to, so they had to put out the demo specifically.
Yeah, obviously they had
to
fucking shit all over it. Look, I'm not kidding. It was not fun. It was not fun. Dealing with this other character is not fun. It is honestly very clearly the opposite of what I want to be doing. Sometimes interacting with other characters has been fruitful in Resident Evil games, namely like in 2. And it worked, but it was always very limited.
Right.
This was like, and I don't know, man. I don't know when this chick becomes a part of your story. I'm assuming if it's a co-op game that, like, she's there for a significant portion of it. I still don't know how that works. Is it a solo game up to the point where she shows up and ruins your life? I don't know. But I really, like, I was really angry. I really hated it. I hated her. I hated the thing. The only time I didn't hate it was when I made her climb on top of a roof and get out of my way for a minute. And in that moment, I was more or less okay with it. But, so, again... When we get into co-op, assuming whichever of, you know, my people I'm playing with, either you guys, assuming you're not just as dipshit as this chick is.
You might want to go with Jeremy then.
Like, I'm guessing it'll be a little more enjoyable. But, I'm sorry, dude, I had a really bad... And I don't know that it had anything to do with my expectations. It really had most to do with her. I thought the environment was a letdown. I think the controls were very good. The rest of it was like, you know, kind of recognizably Resident Evil, I guess. And I certainly don't want to base my opinion of the game or what I expect the game to be on this demo. But a lot of it did have to do with her and an instant fear that this was what I was going to have to tolerate for the entire length of the game if I ever wanted to play it alone.
Right.
And regardless of the existence of co-op, you should... It is a single-player game. And I'd never really thought of this game as something that...
It's that you would be co-oping?
Well, I knew I would, but I thought it would be like...
That's an option I have. Now yeah. It's more of a...
Now, if this is the way it's going to be, uh-huh. I feel toward it as I do toward Left 4 Dead. Yeah, there is a way to play alone, but it's really inferior.
Right.
Because it's terrible. And I, in the two levels where I was, she couldn't be trusted to be worth a damn thing. Like, she'll exhaust her ammo, like, fighting some stuff, or she'll, you know, as I've mentioned once or twice, completely waste a fucking herb because bitch don't know how to play Resident Evil. But, like, with another person, obviously, they could be effective.
Right.
And helpful. And I don't know how, like, aggro-balancing would work on some of these things, you know, but...
But it may just be the way we have to play it. It's
cool. Yeah, I mean, and that's a little upsetting. But regardless, what that demo had to offer in terms of single player, I was extremely upset about it.
I knew that was the only way I was going to play that game was co-op.
Yeah.
That was the only way it was going to work for me.
Yeah, well, at this point, I fucking take back every, you know, accusation I made last week about the fact that you need to buy a fucking game and that game needs to be Resident Evil. No, I'm sorry. I take back half the accusations. You need to buy a game. And it can be whatever else.
It just can't be Resident Evil.
I'm just saying you don't have to. If the only thing we're going to do is run through it once together, co-op.
Game
then,
fly it, do it. Then.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Unless something else happens. Unless, again, because this is old stuff, there's some degree of change that's occurred in the last 6 months that I'm not aware of. Fine, but I don't know. And as of this recording, apparently this is not... I'm not alone in this sentiment. There are a lot of people who are.
Yeah, I remember one of the complaints that they read was like, "Oh, I was watching that cutscene, and all of a sudden these guys got really angry and started running at me." So I got prepared. Yeah, I got pretty. He's got to go blow his nose. I got prepared for. I was like, "All right, here it goes. I'm gonna have to run." And then all of a sudden, it gets to where I can play, and oh, okay, they're not running that fast, are they?
Yeah.
They're not running that fast at all, and I can't move fast at all either. Was it Fitz that said this? Or no, it wasn't Fitz, it was somebody else who said that if I've got restrictions on my controls, then I expect the people, the enemies or whatever, should adhere to those same rules. But they don't, apparently.
So. Well, you can run.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. Again, you're just coming from a guy
clumsy.
That hasn't played it. Yeah.
It's clumsy in the way that it's always been, but it's confused a little bit by the fact that...
Can you move and shoot at the same time?
Here's the problem. No. Here's the problem. You can run, and you can, like, hold down the A button.
Mm-hmm.
And run. If you're walking, you can do strafe, and you can... Your right analog stick acts the way it always does in anything. Your left analog stick acts the way it does in everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to run, everything is suddenly very different, if that makes any sense. Because in order to run, you have to push A. Because, bitch, this ain't a cutscene. So, you have to push A. You have to hold A. Well, you're holding A. Obviously, you're not going to be holding the right analog stick.
Right, well,
so,
you know, Gears works the same way.
No. Well,
yeah, because yes. If you're going to run, you can't do anything else.
Yes, no, about that, you're right. Which is also, again, I think that's something I have a big problem with.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been happy with that in Gears. One of my biggest complaints with the first one was you can't fucking turn in your goddamn roadie run.
Yeah.
You know, it was like this really, really weak sort of turn, which is retarded. And that's a little better in the sequel. Same sort of problem in Resident Evil. I have to hit a face button in order to run, which means that I'm not doing what I'm normally doing with my right stick.
Right, right.
Suddenly my strafe is replaced by turn on the left stick.
Mm.
I do not like that at all. Like, I don't like it. It's a fucking analog stick. If I want to walk, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to push forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to run...
It's all the way.
I'm going to push it all the way. It's an analog stick. Like, what the fuck? I don't understand. Why do I have to hit a button to do what an analog stick is naturally capable of doing? Do I have to hit a button to, like, you know, I mean, I understand, like, Sprint is what it is. And that's actually fine. And Sprint, you know, on, like, L3 for the World at War stuff, or for World at War for Call of Duty 4, that's fine. But if I want to move slow, I push a little bit. Want to run, I push all the way. Very good, very natural. I don't understand why other schemes have departed from that. And it's just really bad. And it was a really good example of how minor changes in the controls can ruin an experience. It's nothing that can't be gotten used to, but you have to think about it that way. You have to get used to it.
Yeah.
There's nothing right about it. And at least two major elements of the game are unnecessary.
Mm.
So,
well, I'll get to that. Did it scare you at all? Was it scary?
No. That's what I was saying. Like, even remotely, it wasn't...
Was Fear 2 scary?
Yes. Yep.
We were talking about this earlier. I said, hey, I played the Fear 2 demo. He's like, yeah, I played it up until the point it scared me, and I stopped playing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to that point, too, but I braved on and went through it. And now, full game comes out, I will be less likely to do so. It'll be like, hey, what are you playing? Fear 2. Can I come over and watch?
Yeah. We should do it like we did Condemned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may turn into something like that, because it looks... I had a lot of fun playing it, but I just know when I've got the rest of all that to go through, I am not going to want to go through it by myself.
It's just... It's creepy, and it's all, like... It's not even, like, good, like, down to the core of your being creepy. It's not disturbing. It's just... They're going to pull a trick.
Yeah.
It's haunted house tricks, and it's paced and designed just like any modern horror movie, where there's a lot of quick cuts and loud noises.
Mm-hmm.
It does, but that, so it isn't, you know, it's jarring.
And in other games, it takes you, well, it only did it once in the demo, but I know it's going to do it more. It did it in the first game, where you will have an action that you must perform, and while it performs that action, you have no control over moving your head or moving the speed at which you do this action. It's just like, press A to climb down the ladder, and then you press it, and it's almost like, okay, cutscene.
When you turn around,
boom, there's something in your face. Scary. No, my God!
I don't like
that. You can't look away, you can't do anything. It's like, oh, you're frozen, and I hate it when they do that, but it's an effective tactic, and it works, and I know that's going to be involved. So that's, yeah, we should probably do that.
And it was very clearly, the first game was, like, obviously, demonstrably a PC game first.
Yeah,
there was something
totally
very much PC about it, and it was clearly like a decent port over to the consoles. It was a PC game first. This one has that really weird middle ground, like, all over it.
Mm.
You know, that sort of, like, middle of the triangle funk. Like, you know, I definitely got PC roots, but, you know, you can tell that I was designed.
Somebody was thinking about a console when they made me. Yeah.
It's obviously not as bad in that respect as it used to be, more because of how well the consoles have come along. And of course, having said that, and having played the demo on my PC, I will tell you what all the PC people said was that it runs like a fucking dream.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. Not as good for this time as Fear looked for its time, but looks pretty good and runs great. And it was a problem a lot of people had with the first Fear. I had it as well.
I had it, too. I couldn't even play the demo with the first Fear. I had to watch somebody else play the demo. And then by the time it came out, I actually bought the game, but I think I gave it to you, and you played it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I had it.
Yeah. I think you may still.
I do.
Jeremy, what did you play? Yeah.
Playing World at War with you guys and The Maw.
The Maw. I finished The Maw over the weekend.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I maybe about halfway through it.
Really. You're just getting progressively worse as the show goes on.
I
with
know.
Your...
I've been sick all day. I hope, like, my sniffling hasn't, like, ruined the show for too many people. It's ruined it for me. But, no, that's Becky finished it. In fact, took some of my game time one night to finish it, so...
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But, no, everybody's liked it. Even Megan got in and played a little bit of it. So.
That's good. I thought she would like that.
Yeah,
I remember we were talking one night, and I said, God, you ought to pick up The Maw, because I think Megan will really like this.
Yeah, I haven't seen her, like, actually use an analog stick to move a thing on the screen with any degree of accuracy or understanding.
But she did with this, huh?
Yeah, she got it.
She knew exactly what was going on?
I let her play the stage where you, like, hop on his back, and you got a bunch of eyes, and they shoot laser beams, and she enjoyed, like, blowing up the environment and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that was fun.
So, yeah, I really like it. I noticed they're coming out with some, like, lost level kind of stuff.
Yeah, three more levels that they've got for 100 points each, I think, is what they are. Three more levels for that. Okay. They're going to release staggered. But no idea when that starts. But okay.
I really like the game. It's very good.
So
worth the $10 easy.
Anything else you play?
That was it.
Yeah. James, did you finish up Fallout?
I did.
Okay.
I bit down and I was like, I've got to...
Well, because the stuff hit today.
It did.
Yesterday,
whatever. But yeah, by the time you listen to this, it will be yesterday. And my guess is, by the time you're able to listen to this, there will be a lot more negative press about it.
We've already seen some. We've seen negative press on a review of the DLC.
As well as the delivery system.
And in the delivery system for PC owners.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm okay with Games for Windows Live. It gives, while it's just sitting there doing what it does, I enjoy it a great deal. I like having access to my friends list. I like feeling in touch with those people. I've got a way to be in touch with everybody else on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
It's that extra thing that makes me enjoy it a great deal between Steam and AIM and IRC and Xfire. It's just another portal to another friends list somewhere. And yeah, it's just another thing, but I like it. As a method for delivering content, be it a patch update or something of that nature, or big content, it doesn't seem to be very good at all.
Mm.
Because when the patch released a while back, I was like, well, this is great. I'll get to see if this operates at all as well as it does on the console, which is a great thing. Pop the game in. Hey, there's an update. Download the update. Congratulations, everything's great now. I like the way that works.
Yeah.
I like it very much. And Games for Windows Live has not delivered in that respect for me. It's been a problem every time. Hey, there's an update. Now that you have logged on and are online, we see there is an update. Did you want to download this update? Yes. Ha, too fucking bad. You're not online. Well, I'd like to point out, for Windows Live, that I am indeed online. And also, you should know better, because you have to be online to know that there's a thing there.
Yeah.
So, fuck you. So, whatever. I go around it, you know, I go over its head, and I download the thing from Bethesda, and it's fine, and whatever. But for this, I don't know exactly how it's going to work. And the early stuff you and I read were that it did not necessarily work very well.
Yeah.
But this was from somebody who had not been using it anyway.
Yes.
And he encountered a number of the same problems I did when initially setting up Games for Windows Live account. It's a big deal. It's complicated. The integration is better than it used to be, but it is still not perfect.
Because apparently you have to have a Games for Windows Live account to download this DLC.
Yeah.
This was a Microsoft exclusive anyway, right? The DLC or no?
Yes.
Yeah. So Microsoft exclusive. Not a Steam exclusive. Not a, well, it's a Microsoft. Oh, and PC owners will get this. No. It's a Microsoft exclusive. So you're going to have to go through their methods in order to play this, download it, that sort of thing.
So
for a 360 owner, you know the drill.
Yes.
But for PC owners, a little bit different.
It is a little bit different. And not... There doesn't seem to be any way to guarantee that it won't be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that. There is... I was never under any illusions about how long it would be or anything like that. It's apparently a little shorter than I thought. I was thinking a few hours, 3.5, something like that. When Bethesda originally stated that they were going to do these, they said, think Knights of the Nine, not Shivering Isles.
Mm-hmm.
Was a very easy comparison to make. And so I sort of understood it. We also understood the setting. It's a simulation setting.
Yes.
In the past. That's also fine. The other things that I think are not good are, A, apparently you do have to access this from the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not
well, we
from
wondered,
the menu.
We wondered how that was going to work. Would it be built into the scenery, I guess you could say, or will it be like okay, will it be like other, you know, I've seen some downloadable contents where it's like you can start the game or you can start this downloadable content that you just did. Do you want to start it there? No.
Yeah.
This is something that gets, when you download it, it gets integrated into the game itself.
Which is both better and worse.
Yeah.
To feel as though this thing was going to be completely divorced from the game world was like...
But now does this set the standard for all the other DLC packs, I guess?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how it's going to work.
I like that way, but though. I like that.
Sure. If... I'm sorry. Once you go into a thing near the end of the game, you cannot get out of it.
Okay.
There is no playing past the end of the game.
Yes.
I don't give a fuck what you do. You're not going to do it. You mod it to work that way on the PC, and that's... You know, that's whatever it is. But speaking generally about the way the game was paced and designed, having beaten it now, I think that was a moronic decision to make. There was no... There were ways to illustrate sacrifice and choice, which is what so much of this game had been about.
God, I wish you'd finished Prince
of Persia. Without it being total. Well, but particularly for this kind of game.
Yeah.
When exploration and
when there is a shit ton of stuff to do.
So what do? You basically, yet again, here we are, DLC that requires you to revert back to a save game at a point before the last slide down to the conclusion. And granted, it's not that far back. In Fallout, it's minutes back. But nonetheless... Still very, and the situation. Even if you save at a place, you know, right at the point of no return, it's still a weird place to simply walk away from and be like, "Did you hold what you got?" I totally got to go turn in some Nuka-Cola Quantums. Like, just be right back in a few days.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's a very weird thing. And I don't like it. So you apparently do have to do that. And it is not an anytime, anywhere thing. It is something that is in a very specific place. So.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I take that back. Maybe that isn't... obviously, that's a bad decision in the sense of not giving the player the rest of the world to deal with after he has completed the game.
I think the way that it's put in, where you access... things in a particular order for a particular set of reasons, I think that's fine. Actually, I think that's exactly how it should be done.
Yeah.
The simple fact that it works, I think everybody had assumed we'll just access it from the menu because, you know...
The game ends when you beat it.
Yeah. Not the case. And also, the reviews are pretty clear. It is half of Fallout. That's what you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
The entire aspect of the gameplay that is so heavily focused on choice, on decision and consequence, and on the role-playing aspect of it, on anything that would influence karma or anything in that regard, is essentially void. This is purely the action portion. This is the breaking out of Raven Rock. This is the stuff like that. And quite frankly, when the game is distilled down to that, it's a bad action game. Fallout's not a good action game.
Yeah.
I mean, once you are skilled to the bejesus, like, it can be pretty decent. But again, being skilled to the bejesus with, like...
Takes away any sort of
bejesus
threat.
Weapons all over the place.
Yeah.
Like,
you got the Merv.
Yeah. It's like, the fuck is anything going to do to you? Nothing.
Yeah.
So, again, looking at it from that perspective, it's either a terrible action game in the beginning because you're an idiot and you can't do anything right, or it's a terrible action game at the end because everything is so redonkulously underpowered. And the setting seems to be good, the storyline seems to be quite good. From what I have read, but apparently it's just not quite everything else you've been doing. It's not Fallout, it's not even Fallout 3. So, then obviously that takes you to the price argument. It's worth 800 points. Which brings up a particularly painful little shard in my eye.
Yeah, how many points do you have
I
right
have
now?
I have 790 points on my account. I can't even remember what the fuck happened to make me draw down 10 points below the 800.
Oh, God, if you could buy point increments, but you can't.
What the hell kind of weird thing did I buy that was like...
I would like 10, even if you could buy 100 points, which you can't. You have choices.
Yeah,
it was you totally, can buy was like, 400 points?
Yeah, I checked it the other day. I was like, seriously? Like, did something have, like, tax on it or something? What the fuck is going on? I have no idea what I did. I obviously bought a combination of a couple of silly little things, which I really don't remember. I mm-hmm. really don't. And, yeah, 10 points somewhere. So
now you've got to shell out. What are the? I don't even know what the increments are. Yeah, I can't remember what they are. But yeah, you've got to shell out
so
a few
that
bucks.
Was real, I'm obviously
just to kick it over the 800.
Complete genius. So there's that. Is it worth the 10 bucks? I don't know. Particularly, I mean, I'm very sad about this because like it's the Anchorage. I really want to play Anchorage, and it's like 2.5 hours for 10 bucks, and it's not even all the shit that you've been playing. It's like really, it seems somewhat.
It almost makes you wonder if later on down the line they're going to offer up.
Oh, they will.
The double pack or the three pack or whatever.
There'll be a Game of the Year edition of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm wondering now if maybe maybe it simply isn't better to wait until the third of the three where they somehow fix this problem.
Yeah.
And give you another 10 levels. 10 levels is... It's not... Like, it's not the whole world, but, like, 10 from 20 to 30 will be significant.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Because they've got to add an amount of content in there to get you.
Assuming that they're not assuming that you've left a lot of the overworld content for yourself.
That's true.
Too many assumptions. Obviously, assumptions about this simple little piece of DLC didn't work very well. Mm-hmm. So, there are things I think about it that are awfully nice. I'm going to have to go home tonight and think really hard about buying. The whole reason that 800, a lot of those points were there in the first place, was to buy this. So I'm a little annoyed that I've got to dump some more points on there, dude.
Well, you know, maybe we do.
It's not that big a deal. I had intended to do it already. The points are done anyhow, so.
Maybe we do what a lot of us do, which is wait for the community to dip their hands into this. Because a lot of people are like, you know, a lot of people are like you last week with Resident Evil. They're like, yeah, it's DLC for Fallout 3. I'm buying it. I'm gonna jump in for it. I don't care what they're saying. You're the same way.
I'm buying it.
So, you know.
All it takes, though, is a couple of pieces of key information. Not people saying, I don't like it, but
just let other people be your guinea pig. Yes.
About, like, well... That's a very easy statement to trust, and I don't like it. So, hopefully, I'll have more to say by the next show this week. But, and it could be that I've only very recently finished it. So,
mm-hmm.
But truth be told, if you're looking, I got the PC version. If you're looking for more to do, there are a lot of guys out there who aren't getting paid any goddamn Microsoft points who are making very good content for the game. Nothing quite as professional as this. Nothing with so much original art,
right?
You know,
right.
But who are nonetheless doing like some really hard work to make some interesting shit in this environment, and they're doing it, you know, for free. So, mm-hmm. go download some mods and be perfectly happy. And maybe that's the direction I will go. I don't know. Other than that, yeah, Kevin's had a bug up his ass to play something new. Me and him together. So. He wanted to play Eve. I was like, well, okay. Like, you know, they're letting you back in for a discount right now. Like a really cheap monthly fee to get back in for a month, see if you still enjoy it. And I told him, I was like, they're doing like a big, you know, complete giant overhaul in March. They're doing some like major shit in March. Maybe we just wait till March. But he wanted to do something right now, so... I re-upped, at least for right now, and gave him my 21-day buddy key. And now he's trying to figure it out. So, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm trying to refigure it out. It's also a lot for me. I apparently haven't played in years. Because it keeps track of, like, you know, this is how long your character has been, you know, rotting in a hole or whatever. Like, a part of this... doing this thing, and it was a lot longer than I had remembered. So I'm trying to remember exactly why stuff works the way it does, and shit like that. And sort of talk him through what little bit I know about how it works. Which is not much at all. And I understand that once I kind of get my feet back under me a little bit, basically, if you want to keep playing, you have to join. You have to join with a group of people. You can't really do anything by yourself. It's just not fun by yourself unless you're a part of a band of enterprising people, however big or small that band might be. You know, and maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. But at the moment, that's what I'm doing. And little else,
yeah.
I guess. You and I need to play that demo multiplayer. You should probably download it just to take a look at it.
Yeah,
kind of Resident Evil vet. Both of you should try that out at least. And we'll definitely do that. I don't know what's coming out on the arcade this week. I don't remember what they said, if anything. I'm not sure, so I don't know what's there. I've got Skate 2. It finally came in the mail. I haven't played it yet, but it's here, so I'll be putting in some time with that. Let's see what that's like. What else? The Dawn of War 2 beta's out there.
I'm kind of excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to moderate my excitement. Not to stop it from happening altogether, but obviously, like, okay, Resident Evil and its associated demo, kind of a letdown for me, at least in that one regard. Maybe, you know, fucking, you know, diamonds and gems of all sorts will shoot out of my asshole when I play co-op and play great, you know. Unicorns and rainbows. I don't know. Like, maybe that's where the magic is. Maybe that's where they put it. But that's a bit of a letdown. I'm sort of hit a bit of a speed bump with the Anchorage DLC, just because some of the specifics don't work out well for me, and the price is sort of in the end. Not that we didn't know it would be that or anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, and then what do we have? In the next week, we've got the Killzone demo. And it's like, well, Killzone looks fucking gorgeous in the videos. I mean, it really does. Like, anymore, who says a first-person shooter looks really good? Nobody. Like, it's a first-person shooter. It damn well better look good. But I look at that, and I'm like, Jesus. Looks good. I want to play it. So I'm hoping, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little bit worried because we always do that. You always get your hopes up about everything you have interest in. I'm not saying, like, overzealous, but that's right. The whole point. Hopes go up. That's how it works. And inevitably something's going to be dashed a little bit. You're going to be knocked down a little bit because something isn't going to deliver. And I'm just kind of thinking that I'm worried that if a few of the things in the next 6 weeks are going to unravel a little more than I thought they would. But I don't know. Dawn of War seems a bit like an anchor for me, and I haven't had a juicy RTS in a while. Though in the next little bit, I could completely overdose on RTS between that and Total War.
Yeah. Something else I played. It's going back in time, but I downloaded World of Goo on the Wii.
Yeah.
Had some points, and I was like, man, I'm never going to use these things. So it's like, fine, I'll download World of Goo, and I played that, and I liked it.
Yeah.
Nice little, I guess, erector set type thing going on there. Just make sure it doesn't topple over, that sort of thing. Had fun with it, and I was like, okay, onto the games. Played that. So maybe I'll go back to that and play a little bit of it. But anyway, moving into some news that we had from the previous week. I know one thing that we said we wanted to talk about on the last episode that we never got around to was Ubisoft's announcement of quite a lot of games, actually. More in the Gras series. Within the fiscal year, by the way, which means from now until March of next year. More in the Gras series, Splinter Cell Conviction, and Assassin's Creed 2.
Assassin's Creed, I thought was, if it wasn't going to happen, it was going to be a victim of the downturn.
Right.
At some weird level. But I kind of thought that was a done deal. And we had, like, sniffed the air a little bit and sort of determined through our own channels that, yeah, it was definitely happening. That was no surprise to me. Splinter Cell was actually a big surprise to me. It's been gone so long that I thought they had completely trashed it and were going to totally avoid that first step they'd taken with Conviction. You know? Like with the you know, the name, the five is the V in Conviction, all the artwork, that stupid fucking hairdo. Like all of that stuff. I thought they were just going to trash that and say, no, we need to go an entirely different direction with this. We need to change focus, you know, and maybe go back a ways toward what we were doing before or something totally different. I don't know. It's just when things disappear like that and don't show back up almost immediately, that's the sort of thing you expect. So that was the biggest surprise out of the whole deal.
Yeah, it was. It was a very big surprise there. I wasn't surprised about Assassin's Creed 2. We knew that was there, and we knew it was coming. I was a little bit surprised that, hey, they're going for a... It was an April release? Yeah, or a March release or something like that. They're, you know, jumping out of the fall time slot. Whatever, the time period.
Good.
No, that's great.
You've been listening.
I was surprised, though, because normally, you know, that's like, hey, we put our big heavy hitters here because they're going to get us more money because people are out there buying games, but that's not always the case.
It didn't work. It didn't work this last time.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It works for a couple of people.
So.
And those people aren't the people who make games, strangely.
That's true. That's very true. But, so yeah.
I was glad that they had all that to say. That's all I know.
We'd been kind of wondering about all these things too. Yeah. Like, okay, we had heard Splinter Cell Conviction was just dead in the water, and we're like, okay, fine, we may never see Sam Fisher ever again.
Well, because it was a cliffhanger.
I'd forgotten about Graw, to be honest with you. Really? I was like, oh yeah, Graw still exists. I forgot. Well, because they haven't gone anywhere since two.
Two was a little. They were okay. I thought it was a little weak. Toward the end,
mm-hmm.
And the ending itself was a little weak, but it was okay. It was an interesting piece of gameplay. It could use a lot of the stuff that Ubi has could really, really use some polish.
Yes,
they had a great staple of games for the beginning of this generation, and I think there have been some simple advances in how things work during this generation that they need to take more advantage of. It seems odd to call them old in terms of their design styles, their design philosophies for stuff just like 3.5 years ago.
Yeah,
but you know, the clunkiness of Graw's multiplayer. A lot of the really blatant design features of Splinter Cell 4, like things like this, are just like, you guys need to fix this stuff a little bit.
Yeah.
You need to fix it. I mean, Assassin's Creed, I'm in the love it camp on that game, so.
Yes. Very much.
I don't know what to tell you to do there. Make a sequel.
Yeah. Of course, we get Hawks, I think, in March.
Assassin's Creed was really bad. I'm just saying. It didn't have a fucking X at the end of the title just to put an X there.
I know that bugs you, but I played it and I really liked.
You played the X? You didn't play that X.
I played Hawks.
Nothing you had played had an X on it.
Whatever, but I played Hawks and I liked it.
You played Hawk.
Yeah, well, whatever. So, yeah, that's out, or coming out, and that sort of thing. Was there any other, what else do we want to talk about? What else was there?
Not much.
No, a lot of people, again, losing jobs, and we hate that shit.
I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of even thinking about that. Like, not even because it's old news, but because it's constantly good, or new news, not good news. I don't really like it. It's a little bit frightening, to be quite honest with you.
Hey, about the, extraneous X thing. Maybe you should just refuse to pronounce the extraneous X as part of the word and call it Ha-X.
Ha-X. I'm going to do something really obnoxious to avoid the extreme. That's how extreme I am. I refuse to acknowledge your fucking X. I'm saying I really hate that. I really hate that sort of thing.
I know.
Look, putting extreme on it is not going to make frat boys want to play your game. There's no demographic out there who only shops for things with extreme in the name. No, there probably is a demographic that only does that, but they're not going to play your game anyway. I'm sorry. You could have done some other shit. I don't even know what to say. So, I'll probably play it anyway. It's airplanes. Really fond of those.
So,
I think that's it. I think we're done.
I think we are too.
We're totally done. And we'll be back later.
With some other stuff?
Probably. I'm certain something's going to happen between now and whenever we do this again. Probably 3 days from now. 2 days from now. That I won't be very happy about. I plan on having something to say, substantive to say about the co-op of Resident Evil 5. Maybe after 3 days in Eve, I will have taught Kevin how to mine an asteroid. which, swear to God, should take like 20 minutes. But he keeps leaving me phone messages. He's like, all right, I'm going to go to this mission. This guy wants me to like mine some shit out of this rock. So I'm going to do that. And then, like, today, I got another phone message about that. He's like, I'm going to try to figure out how to do this. And I was like, dude, it's like the second thing they ever tell you to do. Stop flying around and looking at pretty stuff, because, yes, it's pretty. Go mine the fucking rock. Get the guy to shut up. And go train for that Merlin that I gave you money to buy. Anyway. I'm done. I'm out of stuff. My head hurts. And
yeah.
My water cup's empty. And
I want to go fly that helicopter. Now that it's all charged up.
All right.
Jeremy brought in a little helicopter that's... You got it for your Christmas birthday?
It's a birthday present. Early birthday present.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's the dinkiest little thing, but it flies, and it's very cool.
It's like the ones in the commercials.
Yeah.
People do impossible tricks with that I promise you none of us will ever be able to perform.
Fuck no.
Now, if the trick were to make it look like a dying roach in the corner of the room...
We've got it nailed.
That trick. Yeah.
All right, don't forget to get in touch with us, everyone at ingamechat.net, if you want to write to us. You guys have been using the forums great over at COG, so we appreciate that, and we definitely see everything said over there and respond as well with those. Got a request for you to play Prince of Persia.
I know.
Somebody beat it, and they're like, I want to talk about the ending.
Yeah.
And we're waiting on this dude.
Yeah, we did too.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's it. We will see you later in the week. Good night.
Ever say me against the world, you are already double extra crazy. That's a rule, motherfucker. If you have ever said that phrase in earnest, you have snakes in your fucking head. And, like, especially if you go on the motherfucking Today Show to say it, the day your trial begins. Instead of going to your trial. You're a stupid shitbag.
Oh, man.
Like, there's nobody who doesn't think he's a crazy, guilty shit. And quite frankly... It's not a national issue. It's not a national issue. And you cannot complain that it's unconstitutional because of, like, it doesn't look like what you've seen on Law and Order.
Right.
This is an impeachment. It doesn't work anything like anything else. There doesn't even have to be fucking evidence. A bunch of people in your goddamn government have to say, like, you did... What is it like? It's not even as intense as the presidential one. It's not like high crimes and misdemeanors.
Yeah.
It's essentially like some sort of fancy, schmancy way of saying conduct unbecoming. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, dude. Like, they can fucking impeach your ass. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's why impeachment... There's a whole point that impeachment doesn't look like a criminal trial.
I have a tough pick at my favorite... conference of his. Although, man, the one where he's like, they're impeaching me because I was working hard for minorities and poor people and I was fighting for all these people, and that's why they hate me.
Like, that or the one where he, like, talks about...
Yeah, dude, it didn't have anything to do with you trying to sell a Senate seat.
Yeah. My personal favorite is when he says, when he's like, well, there's basically, he was like, you know, there's me, Mandela, and Gandhi.
Yes, yes. Oh, God, that was awesome. Oh, he's so great. God damn it.
Well, let's see. You've all got weird hair. No, that's not it. You're all minority. No, that's not it. Hold on. Hold on, I'll figure it out in a second. Yeah, like...
Oh, he's so many kinds of crazy.
He's unbelievably insane.